Well, hello. How are you doing? I'm a recent graduate of the David Holliday School of Charm. You can give me grades afterwards if you want. Anyway, it's good to see you all. Glad we can have a little laugh at David's expense. I don't think he's here, and that makes it just that much more fun. Well, across America and in many other countries, a lot of people will be dressing up a little bit funny this weekend as they get into the spirit of Halloween. You'll see, if you look out in your neighborhood, or you certainly see perhaps at stores and whatnot, costumes of ghosts, ghouls, witches, warlocks. Little kids will be dressed up and marched around neighborhoods to trick-or-treat. Many people will attend in haunted houses, and there's a lot of advertisements for that too. It seems to be a popular thing to do as well. But it is everywhere, and it's hard not to notice it. It's certainly in our schools, it's in our workplaces. We see them in the stores that we frequent, in restaurants, people dress up. And of course, we see it in our neighborhoods as well. And of course, can't make any mistake that we see it even here at the hall we're in. But since the beginning, man has taken it upon himself. He's taken it upon himself to determine what is a good thing to do and what is an evil thing to do. In 1 John 5:19, it states that the whole world, not just part of it, but the whole world, lies under the sway of the wicked one. And man is frankly easily deceived. We also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, that Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. He also transforms his servants into servants of righteousness. So Satan appears to be good. He seems like a nice guy. He seems to be on your side. He appears that he's looking out for your interest. But Satan's influence on man is that. Let's make evil look good. So let's look at Halloween. Let's look at this tradition, which has been around for a long time. Let's look at its roots. Where did it come from? And just be reminded of them. And also, let's look into the Word of God on the subject. So how did this come to be, this tradition? Halloween is rooted in the Celtic festival of Samhain. Well, Samhain spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. It looks like Sam Hain, but it's pronounced Samhain. And it means All Hallowtide, the Feast of the Dead. This festival coincided with the Celtic New Year, a time marking the beginning of winter, which is November 1st. At the time of Samhain, it was believed that a gathering of supernatural forces occurred as during no other time in the year. And it was a time marked when the barriers between the human world and the supernatural world were broken. They believed that the souls of the dead and demons were set free to roam the earth, free to run around and torment people and wreak havoc. And they often built bonfires to frighten them away. And they also offered human and sometimes animal, mostly human sacrifices, were performed to honor and appease Celtic deities. It was a time of fear. These ritual sacrifices were the ones, same ones done in Baal worship to Moloch, as we read in the Bible, in biblical times. One of the traditions they did is they wore masks, they donned costumes to look like the dead. And the theory being is that the spirits would recognize them as fellow ghosts and just leave them alone, wouldn't torment them. And this practice, of course, continues today in the Halloween tradition, when people dress up. Some people would also leave food outside their homes. And this was an attempt to appease the spirit so they wouldn't actually enter their home. This is another thing that was popular. And many requested the druids, and the druids were the priests of the Celtics. They requested that they summon specific spirits or certain deities in the other world so they could get special wisdom, special insight, so they could predict the future and what their future would be during this festival. Well, then there was a period in time when the Holy Roman Empire took over the Celts. And when the Celtic lands were conquered by the Holy Roman Empire, the Romans blended their own pagan religions with Celtic traditions. So in the 9th century, Pope Boniface IV designated All Saints Day. This was on November 1st, as a day to honor saints and martyrs. And for the Celts, who were still being converted to Christianity at the time, the fact that there was a Christian festival that would coincide with one of their celebrations made it easier for them to accept and observe this tradition, this new religion. Later, though, in the 10th century, All Souls Day was added. so as not to include just the saints and martyrs, but to include the dead of families and all those in the local communities. So basically, the Catholic Church simply expanded it so that everyone could then participate in it. Now, as the Catholic Church encouraged participation in this festival, and they were incorporating the Celtic custom of leaving food outside the home for spirits, it became a custom for poor families then to beg for soul cakes in exchange for promises to pray for the donor's dead relatives. In time, this was seen as a rite, and the potential donor, if they were not cooperative, would receive in exchange a trick or revenge played on them if they were not cooperative. And this, of course, this form of extortion is now what we see in our modern trick-or-treat custom. But the belief of the Celtic Druids did not start with the Celts. I think we need to go back just a little bit farther. It is nothing new. So let's look at the root. Let's look at the root of their belief systems. And this is a part of research that I didn't know about until now. And actually, this is really good that I actually had a chance to do it, because I was unaware of all of this. Druids worship a multitude, a pantheon of gods and goddesses. Many Celtic deities were worshipped as a trinity. For example, triple goddesses were often sisters or family members. They believed that the dead were transported to the other world by the god Bel. And Bel is just another word for Baal. Druids also believed in reincarnation. Matter of fact, they used to mourn when they'd have newborns because they thought that someone died in the other world when the newborns came into life. So they used to mourn during that time. That's how they felt about reincarnation. They worshipped in groves, the trees being sacred to them, just like they did in Baal worship in the times of ancient Israel. The word Druidae is understood as a combination of the Greek word drus, meaning an oak, and wid, meaning to know or to see. So Druidae means oak wisdom or oak knowledge. I think you see where I'm going with this. They literally worship Satan through their sacred trees of knowledge of good and evil. And that's where it comes from. That's the root. And like it says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, it says, there is nothing new under the sun. What we're seeing today, or what we've seen through time, is just a different manifestation of the very same thing. The Apostle Paul talked about how this kind of belief system is an abomination to God, and how it tramples upon the glory of God. And we read in Romans 1, verse 25, I'll write this down, Romans 1, verse 25, how Paul addressed those who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. They exchanged the truth for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They prayed to and worshipped the things that God made instead of God. And this concept is real heavy in Wicca, witchcraft. They worship the earth, they worship the sky, they worship the spirit of the eagle, all these things, and it's the same concept, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Now, sometimes we think of these religions as something of the past, but Celtic Druidism and Baal worship is by no means a dead religion. Actually, some of the biggest organized followings of this exist in the U.S. and England. They have several thousand followers. Some boast well over 1,000 new converts per year. It's a big thing. Actually, one of the larger ones in the United States has 47 groves total. When they talk about groves, they're not just talking about the ritual arrangement of trees. Groves to them is like a congregation, a group of people as well. But it's very big. Matter of fact, they have one over in Spokane. They have one down in Medford and down in Portland. And they're actually organized. They're a charitable organization. They're just organized. On their website and on their literature, they promote their rituals. They give you instructions of how to conduct a ritual. They show you how to arrange your grove. They tell you how to invoke incantations. They talk about their compatibility with Wicca, witchcraft, and other neo-paganistic followings. It's all there. It's just all in black and white. And they even are candid that the sacrifices of humans is embedded in the history of the religion. They make no bones about it. But they just kind of pass it away saying, well, a lot of religions did that. And they do have an agenda. One of the founders of one of the larger groups in the U.S. had this motto, paganize mainstream religion by mainstreaming paganism. I'll just say that again. Paganize mainstream religion by mainstreaming paganism. So they're a group, they have a large following, and it's talked about that the underground groups are much larger than anything we'd see in terms of its organized groups. Now we know the presence of a pagan religion or pagan religions is nothing new. The Israelites were confronted with this. God certainly instructed the Israelites what to do. His instructions were clear. If you want to write down Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 32, he did clearly instruct them not to have anything to do with it, that the practices were an abomination to him. Some would even sacrifice their own kin to the god, the Baal god of Molech. It's a very, very sickening thing. But you know, the way deception works, it's not as if we were to ask people today why they celebrated Halloween. I mean, most would just say, hey, it's fun. Most consider the devil to be a product of superstition. They consider the devil basically a fairy tale, not to be believed by a reasonable mind in a modern age. So how can it be bad if it's fun? You know, if you're having fun, isn't it good? So once again, Satan is at work with deception. And God provides a clear warning in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. He says, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, we know from 1 John 1, verse 5, that God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness. You know, God shows us what's good and what's not. Man is not capable of deciding what is good and what isn't. And every false teaching, every pagan religion we read about in the Bible, everything we see today, every evil tradition of man is simply a deviation from the one true way. And it's not as if it has to be a large deviation. The smallest of deviation creates a gulf of deception, just the smallest part. That's why God is described as light. God is not described as gray. He is light. He's pure. And he asks that we follow that. So let us be very thankful that God does give us direction. And he does tell us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says, look, be sober. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And God said, Satan's real. So we need to heed God's word and be cautious. But he also gives us words of encouragement, and we can take comfort in that. In the closing scripture, I'd like us to turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. He says, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He is faithful. We have all the help we need. So what is Halloween, brethren? Halloween is simply the product of deception by the master deceiver upon the world that he holds sway. But as the Word of God shows us and God promises us, Satan is only here in control, and he'll have that influence but for a short time.